Shanti. We were not sure what to call this talk or this sharing today, so it was called The Significance of the Point. And actually, when Baba came, he introduced himself as the Point, and he told us that we are points. But very difficult for people at the beginning, and probably even now, to understand the point, because it's invisible. When things are invisible, it's very hard to have faith. But what has Baba said? Baba has said, you don't have to see, you simply have to realize. Recognize and realize. And what we often understand is that the truth is invisible. But I think we're now in a stage of our spiritual life that our life has to be not simply one of knowledge, but experiential. Because it is experience that will always empower us. And it's the same for other people too. I mean, when we are experienced, we have the power to be able to empower others. So I have to ask myself, the point. Is this simply a point of knowledge, or is it an experience? Is it knowledge, or is it experience? How many would say it's still knowledge? Half. How many would say it's experiential? Good. Because now to really get into the point has the whole idea of essence, fullness, and completeness. And it's the whole basis of quality. Quality living, quality consciousness, quality thoughts, quality lifestyle is when I can get to the point. That is, when I can get to the roots of my own existence and also the roots of understanding the drama. So Baba talks so much in every Mauli, remember you're a soul, remember the Supreme Soul, point to point. And it really has to be the intellect that is able to keep in that realization, because it can make that connection, and that through that connection, what do I feel? I feel a flow, a current. And see, all of this is invisible. And when we are very extrovert, doesn't mean simply to be on the outside, but for example, I'm very emotional, I react a lot, I'm very critical, I have the wrong type of desires. All of this blocks the subtle flow. All of this blocks the point-to-point connection. Because that's the type of communication that I need now. And so to understand the reality of truth means to have gone into the invisible and to the infinitesimal, to the very small. And there are three things that Baba tells us at the beginning of the confluence age that are very, very relevant to our happiness and to the type of relationships we have. And those three things that he talks about are also points, and they are invisible. The home, where we exist as points, the father, who is a point, and the other actors, as well as myself, the other actors in this drama are points. So can I start to relate to them as eternal beings, as points? Because if I relate to them again and again as personalities and bodies, then I'm going to just accumulate karmas. Baba once described the world as a gallery. He says, here on the earth, it's a gallery of images, a gallery of pictures. But through the power of remembrance of yoga, let me go home and be in the reality of the truth. And he often says it's time to go home. So to return to my home, to return to my original essence, empowers. But again, how do I do that? It's with a thought. The last Muli Baba spoke of thoughts. And if I can get one point, in the Gita, they say, Arjuna was told, make your mind one-pointed. That I can stabilize my thought energy in one point, and then that elevates me, it takes me up. Because definitely, in order to fly and become God's true helpers, God's angels, and this is what he's asking for now, I have to break the gravity of looking around, the gravity of waste, the gravity of getting locked in another actor's sanskaras, the gravity of past, the gravity of negative emotions like hopelessness or resentments or whatever. Have to break this. How long does Baba give us to break it? 1 second. So, how's that? I mean, I've been trying to exercise this a lot. 1 second, one thought. I'll talk a little bit about it later, but this is the supreme exercise. But it's so much easier to talk. So much easier to discuss. So much easier to keep thinking and thinking and thinking. But if I truly want to break the gravity of all the things that have brought this soul sorrow or confusion in relationship, I have to be able to go inside and up in a second. And this is only done through practice, not through any special seminar. Practice and practice. And this is again, what did Brahma Baba do to become subtle? He had to go beyond. He had to go beyond. He had to be connected. Connected first to himself as a soul, and then connected both to the soul world and the angelic world. But first of all, home. Incorporeal self, the essence, the point. And it's in the incorporeal self that I can experience the stage of being absolutely liberated. You don't have to wait. Sometimes people think they have to wait to become completely pure to experience that state. But actually, if I'm able to go home, if I'm able to concentrate my thought and be there, and be with the one who is always liberated, he gives me the power to remember my original liberated state. This gives the soul a lot of power, and then it can deal with all the karmic things. It can deal with waste, but first it has to be empowered a great deal. So think of this, you know, I create the thought, I'm here, because sometimes often we're here, and I go home. How long did it take? Well, you're still here. Still here? This exercise, very subtle exercise, it's a subtle gymnastics of the mind, of the soul. I go in, I concentrate gently and deeply, I go up to my home. A breath, a thought, a second, a breath. And the feeling? It's not just feeling, it's also the knowledge I am there. And then with you, my father. And connecting with Baba in that home, then the soul starts to be given the experience of liberation, of completeness and fullness. Because, you know, often we hear this word complete, be complete. What does it mean? Can I be complete? Of course, if I originally was, I can return to that stage. But there, Baba will give the soul the experience of being complete. Complete means I don't have the wants and the needs that pull me down again and again and again. Wants, needs and expectations of in this drama. To be master of the drama, I have to really become master of my home, in my home, not of my home, but in my home. And this is a very subtle exercise. And I think this is why also, you see, we can get bored with knowledge. Shouldn't, but we can. Because it seems a lot of this, a lot of that. And after a number of years in Gyan, we know a lot of the answers. And we kind of know what we should do. But often the complaint is, there's not... Sometimes not only is there not the power, there's not even sometimes a willingness or an enthusiasm. Because ultimately, you know, ultimately, if I can experience the point, I can experience that, the invisible, through my intellect and through my mind, I will understand one thing, that actually I don't really have to change anything. I have to return back. This is called remembrance. My real effort is to return back, to be in that experiential remembrance of my personal eternity and of my Father. And through that empowerment, then when I am here, I can get rid of the pollutions very quickly. It's not so much changing the things that have polluted me, it's a matter of dissolving them. And so this is sometimes a very, very, very big problem, because we end up thinking that I have to face something head on, and then I can get engaged in this battle, in this laboring, and there's, you know, I should, I shouldn't, it could be, I could not, wrong, right. It's making the wrong effort, really, because I'm not conscious of the point. I'm not really conscious. And so it's a constant struggle which gets tiring. And the only way to break that is go up. Go in, go up. And remember what I am. Because only from that things are going to become quicker and easier. Why should I labor? Why be caught up in the cycle of self-effort that just makes me dizzier and dizzier and dizzier? You know, when you're caught up in the cycle of the wrong self-effort, you get annoyed even with knowledge, actually. I've heard that before. Again? Again? You know, it should be ascending. You know, I should not keep just spinning around. But really, the reason for that is the lack of the consciousness of the point and of that essence. And in such a connection with Baba that I allow him to remind me, to wake me up. He will. So this is so very important, because point to point connection is the real communication. The communication with God is silent and deep and very, very friendly. Very friendly. The soul feels, the soul remembers this original friendship, this original relationship with my father, my mother, my friend. It's very, very deep. And then the soul is motivated to get rid of the pollution, because the soul at that point doesn't feel only a relationship with God, but a relationship with the human family. You see, this is a very important point. If I keep it in my heart, that when I really connect with Baba, I will connect definitely with the whole human family. And then the next step after that, Baba invites the soul and inspires the soul to be his co-server and to serve the human family. Because the human family, in essence, when we go beyond all the cultures and nationalities and all of that, they are points. They are also points of reality. They are points that don't know their points. They don't know their souls. They may speak about it abstractly, but they don't really recognize and know. Because when I recognize and know a truth, it gives me happiness. Otherwise, if there's a sorrow, there's something I don't know, something I don't recognize. But again, a little bit about this maybe a little later. But just these three things: the home, the connection with the point, the father who's in the home, and then the connection with other souls as eternal seeds, as points. I mean, it's not so much just a matter of form, this, but if I see the other really as an eternal being, as a soul, I very quickly go beyond wrongly identifying them. For example, I don't like somebody because I identify them with a weakness. Isn't it? I identify them with something that is not to my liking. Usually that's the reason for conflicts and bad feelings. I haven't returned to the point. I've missed the point, actually. I haven't gone to the essence. And when I go in, if I appreciate their existence as points of energy eternally in this drama, my respect will rise. My acceptance, in fact, actually, my acceptance first, and then my respect will go up. It's a very, again, a subtle exercise, but we forget to do it because we're just very caught up in so many other identifications. And the sense of value for people goes very much with what they identify with, whether it's nationality, culture, personality, achievements. And Baba very gently every morning says, just remember me and consider yourself a soul. That detoxifies everything. Because we're pretty addicted. Pretty addicted to a particular type of vision. And so, if I can practice this, and you see, I forget to practice when I think I know. I know, yes, I know I'm a soul. I know I'm a point. I know God's a point. I know this. But it's superficial knowing. Deep knowing requires a very deep exercising or effort, whatever you like to call it. And Daddy was saying once in some message she recently sent, it stayed in my mind a lot. He said, many souls make superficial effort even though they do intense service. They do intense service, but the effort is still superficial. It's not true effort. And so returning, what happens when I do return to my original form that is beyond culture and beyond the physical, beyond the social? That's how I keep genuine to the self. It's, I think, one of the things that we really want and we appreciate very much is genuineness. Eh? Something to be genuine, something to be real, something to be true. But now at the very end of the cycle, when so much has accumulated, how do I get to this? How can I keep the self genuine? Because when I keep the self genuine, I keep the self free. I mean, it's again, I have to remember my original form and my original state. Not just the form, but the state. Pure, complete, and clean. And to go beyond what I have identified with over and over again. Because it will always put me in a gravity. How can you tell if you're in gravity? Dislikes, reactions, pain, judgments, criticisms, hopelessness in a way. It's because it's many... many lives, and so all these things have accumulated. Silence, introspection, and silence, and I return and I remember. And just having that one thought, you know, Daddy often, and the other daddies always keep saying Om Shanti 3 times. I'm not always able to do it so loudly, but if there's real concentration in that one thought, that concentration opens up my consciousness. A concentrated thought creates a particular consciousness. And again, if I exercise this, it will happen. But if I start to think of Om Shanti as a ritual, or if I start to think of it as, I think of it as a point of knowledge, rather than practice it and get and be a point of that experience, then I don't find newness. I don't find power. So it's very important to be genuine to ourselves as a soul, but also the type of soul. You know, what it becomes very clear, the purpose of one's life and how one has to value oneself. To reach the angelic stage, for example, is the purpose of the lives of, you know, the real companions of God. They feel this. They want to be in this partnership very deeply. So, one thing is I'm genuine to the self as a soul, and the other is I'm genuine to my purpose in this life. Because every soul gets always into a relationship, whatever age, golden or silver or copper or iron. I mean, it's the natural thing for the soul to relate. But in this life, Baba spoke about it today, didn't he? It's not the time for blood relationship. It's the time for soul to soul relationship. Even the ones that I'm physically related to, soul-to-soul relationship, takes the consciousness to another level. And when the consciousness is taken to another level, Baba has told us, many, many, many souls will get benefit. As long as I'm possessive, not many souls will get benefit. Even the ones I'm possessive of. Even the ones I'm attached to. But if the soul, out of very deep love for humanity, is able to break that selfish link of blood relationship and rise above it, then it's able to be a very inclusive soul. So very important to be genuine to the self and genuine to my life's purpose. Also, the experience of the essence keeps the self unlimited. The awareness of this, the foundation of this, is the seed. Baba as the seed. And I also become a seed as well. So it's like we've been branching out and expressing for many, many lives. Then Baba says, now in, go in, become little. Speak, yeah? Speak less, think less. Not always easy to do. Because the sanskar, see, the sanskar, which is very natural and normal for the soul, and it has to have this, is to express itself. It needs to keep expressing and expressing. That's what creates the drama. But at the end of the Iron Age, the expression is not very good. And so Baba says, you know, clean the self out and then express. But to clean the self out, I have to return back to the seed stage. And when we return to Baba as the seed, and I return to myself also as this eternal seed, of course he is the seed, what comes in front of us? It's the tree, the whole tree of humanity. And the characteristic and the beauty of this tree of humanity is variety. It's variety, it's difference, and it gives us a lot of joy. It gives Baba a lot of joy. Bab Dada enjoys seeing all the different children. And not only the Brahmin children, but all the different children. You know, all are his children. So it's the beauty of that variety. But even that variety now has become exceptionally decayed. And though difference is a thing to celebrate, it's a, you know, and a difference also contributes. You know, like somebody offers this, another person offers that, another is that, and that creates the beauty in the drama. But now, unfortunately, difference is regarded by many as a point for superiority, or that they are better, they are more privileged, they are this, they are that, and so they feel justified to suppress. Or they try to make others, you know, uniform or the same. So it has degenerated a lot. And it's when we connect with Baba as a seed is that we understand how he respects this variety. But again, this variety can only be preserved if each variety also goes back to its original state, whatever that level may be, whatever it may be, but all those souls have to go back to their state of purity and liberation. So the seed reminds us of the tree, and it's very important to understand this as Baba's servers. It's like the small and then the unlimited, you know, keeping the self unlimited, unlimited vision, seeing all as souls, seeing all souls have a right to be here and to express themselves. But again, unless I'm very deeply anchored in my self-confidence, unless I'm deeply anchored in my self-respect, I get afraid of all these things, or I reject them. You know, the reason for rejection is fear, yeah? And ego. Ego. We reject others because some ego is there, or some fear is there. Or they usually go together. And another thing of keeping the self unlimited is, when the little seed, I the seed, am connected to the supreme seed. This is the partnership. The great partnership at the end of the cycle between the child and the father, the apprentice and the master, God and the angel. This partnership. And if I can keep in the essence of this partnership, then I will feel very fulfilled. I will feel, yes, not only have I found my destiny, but I'm realizing it. There's no greater gift, is there, than to feel you are realizing something very destined. You know, Baba says the drama is predestined. A lot of people take that negatively. But actually, it's good to take it very positively. Because Baba has told us you have a bright destiny, and then you help others to have a good destiny. And all souls in the drama will eventually have a good destiny, because they'll all come down clean. They'll all come down to express something very valuable in themselves. It's not some have always a bad destiny, some have a good destiny, but there's different levels. And then Baba, as the purifier, he's the point. That point, which is God, the only, you know, the soul who keeps constantly aware and awake, he wakes everyone up from Brahma right down. And when I'm able to really connect to that point in a state of love, that love then starts to dissolve old memories, old patterns, old sanskars. You know, 84 births. I mean, the first ones are okay, but copper age on, all those, you know, those births are there. 84 cycle. When I get into that point, it's like I'm recycled very quickly. Eh? Everybody's talking now about recycling. Baba recycles the soul, you know, he sort of takes everything wasteful out. And he does two things. He gives power, he helps the soul to emerge its original, and he keeps giving power, so the soul keeps emerging that original, but he also gives us codes of conduct. Because if those codes of conduct are not followed, then no matter how much power he's giving and what power the soul is trying to emerge, it goes flat. And the number one code of conduct that Baba as the purifier gives is non-violence. Don't be violent to the self because of any influence of the vices. Don't be violent to others. And of course, not just others as souls, but also nature and the elements. Because it's not enough just to have remembrance. I mean, it's major, of course, but it's not enough. I have to also follow a certain code of respectfulness to nature and to people. And even to my own mind and my own intellect. I have to respect them more. Then I'll be very careful how I use them, what I put in them. So Baba, the great recycler, because we think we've come up with the idea of recycling. Human beings think that they've become environmentally aware. Baba has always been environmentally aware. And even now, to help nature and the elements, Baba says you can only do this from purity. The Sakash. And that's the next point, is the point as service. When I can be very concentrated, very surrendered, very complete, connected with Baba, the purifier, the liberator, the benevolent one, then as an instrument, Baba Sakash can reach over the whole planet to souls and to matter. And those points of love, we call them points of love, points of purity, are needed all over the planet. That's why we're in all different countries, isn't it? Otherwise Baba can just do it from up there and just send light and that's it. But it doesn't work like that. He has to have, you know, it's like a I don't know these days how the technology works, but you know, once a radio station sent vibrations and then it was caught by different radio stations. So it's the same. But the important thing is the cleanliness. If it's not clean, there's a lot of static. There's a lot of interference. So point to point as service is very important. Sakash, the selfless, unconditional energy of benevolence that goes out into the creation. This is Baba's task, and he says it's your task also. And benevolence includes many things: love, respect, kindness, peace, maybe other things as well. So that's Sakash. And also we hear of the term points of knowledge. And it is quite a challenge after your number of years in Gyan to make sure that that knowledge becomes nourishment, that it doesn't remain dead knowledge. If there's dead knowledge in my system, I get bored. I'm not enthusiastic. I'm not willing to go deeper. Enough. But when knowledge has really nourished me, I'm all ears. I like learning. I like changing. I like returning. You become integrated into drama much more. If knowledge doesn't become nourishment, you know, I'm rejecting scenes of drama. I'm rejecting particular actors in the drama. I'm not integrated. When Baba speaks, go deep into solitude, yes, deep into solitude of that loving connection with one, but then the proof of that is my feeling of connectedness with everyone and with nature and with the elements. One means all. But you've got to start in that order. Eh? One first, the point, and then the all. Not the all first. It's too crowded. So knowledge to become nourishment and not just interesting. There's the word we use, dharana. Dharana is the commitment to application. Dharana means I'm honest. I'm honest with knowledge. I'm honest with my aim. I'm honest with my father. But also, especially, I'm honest with the people I serve, that I'm an instrument for. Because if they don't take something genuine, their sorrow doesn't go away. At least while they're in front of the instrument soul, then they should be able to really feel that peace and that upliftment. And they do. I'm sure we have all had this experience. But I've always, you know, even in Lokic life, no matter, the soul appreciated the good things, but you always know you can do better. I always have this feeling. It's fine, what has happened, good, but you always have something more, something higher, something better, you know. And that keeps the self fresh and alert, because otherwise I can get very complacent. And once I get complacent, there won't be dana. There won't be the love for knowledge, and therefore I won't have experience. So, and there are many points of knowledge, you know, how to be content and what patience is and what tolerance is and what, but beyond all of that, there are three things that will make any point of knowledge work. Because otherwise it's a bit, it can be a little tedious if you have to, you know, now I have to be patient here, I have to be tolerant there, I have to be sweet here, courageous there. But actually, I just have to if I just live with awareness, I just become a little bit more aware, and I take my day as a joy and as a gift of drama, and also as a school, then three things always come into play, and that is observe, the state of observing, and motive, and discernment. These three things. Because no matter what knowledge has to become a dharana, these three things are always necessary. Observe. Never get too serious. It's not that you don't care, but I mean serious in the sense of thinking something is overpowering, some aspect of Maya is unbelievable, you know. Well, look what Maya did. I mean, how possible? I mean, I never dreamt of this. How could these thoughts come up? Observe. Whatever it is, good or bad, observe. Never get impressed. Maya is very impressive sometimes. Don't get impressed. But for that, I need observe. Otherwise, also, I won't know. I won't be clear what aspect of dharana I should have, because I get very reactive or confused or despondent. Observe. Observe simply means I step back and Om Shanti, I become peaceful. Again, you see, we hear this a lot, detached observer. But it is extremely, extremely helpful. God Himself is the detached observer. And because He remains the detached observer, He's able to be extremely helpful and cooperative. Because, you know, if I don't become an observer, I get fed up. Have you gotten fed up with your own efforts sometimes? Or fed up with this person, or fed up with service, or fed up... Observer. Step back, I become an observer. An observer doesn't have to jump to conclusions or make any conclusions. Just to be still. Just to be still. I'm still. Peace. And I take it easy. Because as soon as I get peace really deep into my system, and I stop being... I mean, I stop any kind of criticism of myself or others. Just become quiet and still. And in that state, it may last some time, but things start to fall into place as well. You know, drama is also very cooperative. You know, how is it possible to know everything? How is it possible to know, you know, all the details, and to know all the details that are necessary to know, or to know a person? I mean, sometimes I can't. Just be quiet, be still. Trust drama, trust Baba, and trust your own good destiny. And then things start to fall into place. And if there's no negative energy In that state of observation, my intellect starts to become clear. Then in that clarity of intellect, what happens? Discernment starts to work. Yeah? Discerning. Not judging, but discerning. And seeing what's really appropriate. And I can discern then what really is progressive in my spiritual life and what's really retarding my spiritual life. For example, you know, some people say, yes, I need to be tolerant or patient. And they practice this sincerely. But with their practice of tolerance or patience, there's also an element of suppression. And that element of suppression robs the soul of willingness to keep going or even happiness. But if I'm in a state of observing it and I'm discerning, I can see that I'm suppressing myself and I'm calling it tolerance or I'm calling it patience. I'm like, say, I can be 2/3 sweet to somebody or 4/5 sweet, but a fifth has a kind of animosity. 4/5 is good. Doesn't, you know, a fifth can be easily managed. But I need to see that it's there, because otherwise it grows. But again, I don't have to see it in a paranoid way, just the soul discerns. And, you know, and it's very good to ask the self question sometimes, you know, why am I suppressing? You know, what causes this? Because if I ask the self the question, you know, I start to get the answer. It's impossible I will not get an answer if I've asked myself a deep question regarding my own progress. Because an honest question always clears the road. Baba can come, drama can come, even other souls, there'll be a cooperation. And then another thing that helps a lot is motives. What motives I have in when I do something, whatever that may be, whether it's an effort for my progress, whether it is service, especially in service, because we need a lot of dana in service, especially the dana of humility and being the instrument. It makes things a lot easier. A lot easier. And again, all these things, we do them. I find I do them, but then, you know, something comes up. And so motives. If my motive is sincere, if my motive is clean, if my motive is coming from a good root, then it will always keep me in a state of contentment or happiness, whatever the result may be. See, a lot of people get contentment and happiness from results. Real contentment always comes from your motives, not from the result. Because, for example, in service, the result may be fantastic, and but then the soul may forget that maybe it wasn't because of them only, but there are other factors involved. And then, you know, getting impressed by oneself can, you know, take the soul on the wrong track. Or the other way, nothing happens. Put a lot of effort in something, the result is disastrous. Sometimes we've done this, you know, especially new places, done this effort and that, posters here, posters there. One person turns up, two people turn up. And I remember once, we did this once, and I remember many, many years ago in Switzerland, and with one sister there. She was very new. I was also quite new. And we put posters up, but very badly made posters, all by hand, all in, you know, not clean, everything. Anyway, and of course, no one turned up to the program. Not of course, but they didn't, because it was not very well planned. But I remember one thing from all of that happened, because the sister had to go to work and I had to write the posters in German. German's not at all my language, but she had one copy and I had to copy it, huh? And of course, when something's not your language, you may leave out a word, you may leave out a comma, and it changes the whole thing. But I remember one thought came very deeply whilst doing this, is, and you know, it's like Baba, I was really feeling being with Baba, and says, these are the most precious moments in the drama. These are the most precious moments in service. When you're doing things together as a family with a pure heart to let people know about their father. You know, it was... But if you look at it from the term of result, nothing happened. But in terms of a few souls cooperating together, it was a very beautiful step, because it was a step. Huh? So everything is not, you know, it's very important not to get depressed or carried away by any result. And in terms of service, we see more and more, you know, Baba can move anyone's intellect. Baba can move anyone's intellect. A lot of it is up to him. But then what is extremely important after that is that there's enough dana in the self that then those souls can be sustained properly, because sustenance is a major thing.